Welcome to That Is Good to Know Radio Show. This program focuses on you, the listener, by providing you information, strategies, and practical educational tips from successful seasoned business professionals. Now, with today's program, here's your host, Jeff Stanislow.
Hey, Tampa, this is Jeff Stanislow, your host of That Is Good to Know. Welcome back to another episode of That Is Good to Know. You can check out all of our episodes at our website, www.thatisgoodtoknow.com. We appreciate our support here from AM 1040, Tampa Bay. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about becoming a private pilot. And, you know, right now, my son, Jack Stanislow, is going to join us. He has been working on his private pilot's license this year. And I thought, like, this would be something good to know if someone is thinking about becoming a pilot themselves or know someone, a family member or a friend, that this would be a good educational segment, you know, to talk a little bit about getting your private pilot's license. Good morning to you, Jack.
Good morning.
Thanks again for joining us on That Is Good to Know and sharing some of your real life experience as you are pursuing getting your private pilot's license.
Yeah, thank you. It's good to be here, and I'm excited to talk about one of my life's passions, which is flying.
So let's talk about that for a minute, Jack. One of your life's passions, and I think, you know, becoming a pilot, you have to be passionate about it. Tell us a little bit about, like, you, when you became interested in planes and what really got you kind of excited and, you know, the mindset that you need to be in to take the, hey, I love planes, I love airports, to actually going out and do it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, ever being a little kid, like some of my first conscious memories, I always loved flying, going to the airport. We lived in Detroit at the time. And I remember being a little kid and getting up, 3-4 hours before we went flying at like 3 a.m. So I was so excited. We would always come and visit our family down in Tampa. And we would always fly Northwest Airlines from Detroit Metro down to Tampa International. And I don't know, every single time, I would get to the airport, I'd always just be amazed at the grace and the size of these airplanes. And for those that don't know, Northwest was, they bought out Delta back after the recession in about 2009, 2010. But Northwest was the flagship airline of kind of the Midwest. They had major hubs at Minneapolis, Salt Lake, and Detroit. Detroit was their main hub. And the amount of airplanes they had going out of there was really amazing. So not only did I kind of fall in love with the actual idea of aviation, but I was also fascinated by all of the moving parts of the airport ecosystem, everything from air traffic control to, all the people it takes, firefighters, ground crew, support staff, all the moving parts of an airport really is a city within a city. And I always thought that was pretty fascinating how they kept everything so orderly. Really, it's just one of those things. Like, I think it's something you just feel down in your bones or in your soul. And it's just like, yeah, wow, this is amazing. And I want to do this one day.
Yeah, that's an interesting story, Jack. I remember, having to get up early to take you to the airports, and we had to get there extra early so you could check it out, watch the planes fly. I remember many times just driving to the airport and doing plane watching and plane spotting and your passion for aviation, now has brought you to your young adult life and, wanting to be a professional baseball player or an astronaut or, a pilot or a firefighter, as a kid, is often dreams of many people, but then there becomes the reality of actually executing it. And that's where we want to spend some time today is talking about the process and, maybe taking that first step and getting your private pilot's license. I know even to this day, you have an app on your phone and your iPad and what have you, and you fly. I'd like to maybe share with our listeners that app and what it does and kind of the things that it that you learn from it. And then we're going to dive into, you know, becoming what the steps and process becoming a private, getting your private pilot's license here in the state of Florida. So again, this is Jeff Stanislow from That Is Good to Know. We're talking with Jack Stanislow about becoming a private pilot in the state of Florida. So what app do you use, Jack?
Yeah, so, oh, wow, where do I get started? I think one of the most interesting kind of developments in aviation is the real advent of handheld technology, not only used as like a working tool in the cockpit, but also as a learning tool. You know, I think it's got some great benefits, but given the conservative nature and the safety culture built around aviation, we're always quite hesitant to adopt new technologies. That's why they kind of say that we're a trend laggard, where, you know, we kind of prefer, pilots prefer to stick with, you know, what we know works. But I think, you know, particularly handheld technology has gotten to the point where it is incredibly reliable. But I think what one thing we're seeing is the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, really doesn't want pilots to be reliant upon these tools to execute their tasks. They still teach the old-fashioned ways, if you will, everything from slide rule to just good old dead reckoning, you know, old school methods of navigation and flying airplanes, so that way it's safe. But the advent of the iPad and certain applications such as ForeFlight have really opened up a lot of doors, I think, particularly for private pilots that are flying relatively short regional routes. They're able to fly with a lot more confidence and I think a lot safer with the use of these tools.
So Jack, you know, you have an app on your phone that you fly routes to, I guess, a simulator or something like that. Kind of before we go in the process, what is the name of that app? And then, you know, what benefits do someone that might want to download it and, you know, begin to play with it and what have you? I know oftentimes, you know, it's like, hey, Jack, take the dog's eyes. Like, I can't, I'm landing right now and you're on your phone. So tell us what the name of the app is that you're using to fly, you know, that, someone might want to download and check out and what benefits of doing that might be.
Yeah, of course. So, you know, the app, for iOS and Android, you know, phones, it's called Infinite Flight. While I do think it is a good tool, it's definitely no substitute for, actual flight hours or going in full kind of 4D simulators that are used to train professional pilots. To me, it's honestly more of a game. I enjoy it. But I will say, I mean, I've been flying flight sims, both the handheld as well as the very powerful PC flight sims since I was, oh gosh, probably 9-10 years old. And for the more powerful software, I was using a flight simulator called X-Plane, which is a great product. I think I flew on X-Plane 10 and they're already at X-Plane 12. So it's evolved over the years. But one thing I think that I have kind of a capability with flying is, you know, in real life, it's certainly not like riding a bike. If you don't fly frequently, you will lose your touch. I tend to be able to take relatively long absences from the cockpit and flying for real, and have a really good kind of feel of the controls when I come back. I can kind of get the hang of it quite quickly again. And I think a lot of that comes from just being used to the proper flight control movements that have been kind of taught to me using the flight sims. Cause you know, you have a yoke and a rudder and it teaches you how to fly the aircraft in what we call a coordinated manner. So basically what that means is you're just flying the aircraft as straight as possible without having any adverse forces on any part of the airplane in particular.
Yeah.
So I guess in short, you know,
on your
simulator, you know, Infinite Flight, it's a great, great little tool.
And you can download that on the App Store?
You sure can. Last I checked, it's free to download, but they have a monthly subscription that's $10 a month. You get a discount for signing up for a year, and that gets you access to their online servers where you can fly with people all across the world, and it's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's got all the airports and the proper destinations, and you fly with others, and there's traffic going on, and you got to get clearance and all that stuff. So, you know, the flight simulation industry is quite broad and quite big. But like you'd mentioned, it can't take away from the real world of being behind the cockpit and knowing the fundamentals of flying an airplane. So let's dive into the process of, you know, becoming a private pilot, you know, here in the state of Florida. So the first question I have is, you know, about how many hours do you need to fly to get a private pilot's license?
Yeah, that's a great question, Jeff. So typically speaking, you know, you're required per Part 61 of the Federal Aviation Regulations, you're required to have 40 flight hours minimum. And there's certain requirements within that 40, like you have to have a certain amount solo, you have to have a certain amount what we call dual time, which is where you're flying with a flight instructor and, you know, they're kind of instructing you as you fly. You have to have a certain hour of certain amount of flight time at night, etc. So what that essentially means is it takes most people around 60 to 80 hours before they're actually ready to take what's called a check ride. And a check ride is a literal practical test. A FAA pilot examiner, what we call a DPE, a designated pilot examiner, they will actually meet you at the airport and they will give you an oral test where they'll ask you a series of questions about the function of the airplane, about the, you know, kind of rules of the sky, things of that nature. And if you pass your oral at that point, you're actually going to take the DPA for a flight. And upon successful completion of that check ride, you're then given your private pilot's license. There's a few other requirements that are specified before you can get your license. But basically, it takes 40 hours minimum for most pilots, 60 to 80 to get your private pilot's license.
Okay. We're talking with Jack Stanislaw, who's working on getting his private pilot's license right now. This is your host, Jeff Stanislaw from That Is Good to Know. You can visit our website, www.thatisgoodtoknow.com to, you know, check out this show. We'll put it up there after it airs. Jack, you know, kind of just like, you know, starting from scratch. Hey, I'm thinking about being a private pilot's license. You know, what would you recommend, you know, if you were to kind of put together, you know, some notes or a checklist of things to start with? You probably got to what, you know, find maybe a flight school. Maybe you can give us a couple flight schools that you've checked out or where you're flying is fine. And then maybe what types of planes are they flying? You know, flying. You're not, you know, hopping into a jet right away. So talk to our audience a little bit about that, just like, you know, from concept to, you know, putting some stuff on paper, and then we can dive in a little further.
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of in my experience, you know, to anyone that is interested in, you know, pursuing any aviation certificates, whether it's just a private pilot's license or if you want to go all the way to the airlines, you know, I think the first thing is building kind of you know, that goal in your mind, like that you have to have determination to become a pilot. It's not an easy task. It's very technical. It's very expensive. You need to just kind of have, you have to make sure you really want it, or otherwise you're not going to succeed. You know, so I think that's just kind of, you got to make some peace with yourself and be like, is this something I really want to do? And if it is, then make the commitment. And I think you'll never look back. It really is a wonderful thing to do, whether as a hobby or as a profession. You know, when it comes to first steps, like someone that has zero experience, doesn't know where to start, I think the first thing you can do is maybe ask your network of friends or family if they know a pilot. whether a commercial pilot or a retired military, someone that has been there and done that. It's good to have a mentor that can, you know, kind of help you through this process and kind of give you their experience. And I think you'll find no shortage of pilots that want to help the next generation. One thing that's lovely about the aviation community is they really want to give back. Next is you need to kind of start looking for flight schools. There's two types of flight schools. There's what's called Part 61 and Part 141. For most people, I would recommend a Part 61. That's kind of a fly as you go, pay as you go, go at your own pace type of flight training. And the benefit is you get the flexibility to kind of train on your own time. The drawback is you don't get the regimented structure of a Part 141. Part 141 is a bit more of like almost like a boarding school. So it's kind of like you're at the airport 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. You know, it's like a full-time job. Most Part 141 schools, you can't work. You literally just have to dedicate yourself to flying. So that can be an option for some people. But for most, I would recommend Part 61. And I can do a whole blog on this, on the differences between the two. But when it comes to Part 61, there's a lot of great options here in the state of Florida. Here in the Tampa metro area, I have to give a shout out to the flight school I attend, which is Atlas Aviation down at Peter O'Knight Airport in Tampa. They are a phenomenal local business. They've been here for over two decades. You know, they bring a wealth of experience and great quality of instruction, you know, to market, and you know, the quality of the aircraft is also excellent. But kind of the most important thing when it comes to identifying a flight school and identifying the right flight instructor for you is you have to, you know, do some site visits. Go out, check a couple airports in your local area, wherever that might be. Talk to the instructors, talk to management. You know, maybe bring a pilot friend with you who can kind of check out the airplanes and do a pre-flight, if you will. You know, every airplane that flies for a flight school has to undergo more rigorous safety inspections, but it's still relatively easy to tell, you know, if an airplane's being cared for or if it's being more so neglected. So, you know, it's really just kind of finding a flight school you're comfortable with, you're comfortable with the price, but also, you know, you're talking to instructors and you think it's a good match. It's a good learning dynamic.
Yeah, you're going to spend a lot of time with them. You're going to spend a lot of time there. So you want to make sure it's a good match. You mentioned price, Jack.
And, absolutely.
You know, just like, okay, so you got to go out and probably get some equipment. You know, what can you expect to invest in equipment and some stuff on your own? And then, you know, I've read things that, you know, getting your private pilot's license could be somewhere, you know, a little less than 10 grand all the way up to $15,000, just depending on this flight school you're working with in your sample. Is that about right?
Yeah, Jeff, that's about the ballpark number. For flying and getting your private pilot's license. You know, in today's environment, I would say it's probably closer to that $12,000 to $15,000 mark. Just especially, like I mentioned, you know, most pilots need more than the minimum 40. And most flight schools will quote you at 40 hours, so you can expect to pay a little bit more. But once you solo, it does begin, the price of flying does begin to decrease dramatically. So that helps.
How many hours you got to get in before you solo, Jack? Like, okay, you got to work at, go to the flight school. You got to get your, your solo license, or they just get enough hours to go solo. And then
license almost. So it's not a license, but basically what happens is once you get your FAA medical taken care of, you know, take your first kind of written assessment. It's called a Part 61 knowledge assessment. It's not the actual written test that's required, but basically it's a document, or it's a signature in your logbook. And the logbook is a document that tracks your progress as a pilot. It's basically a signature from your flight instructor saying, hey, this kid knows what he's doing. And then eventually when your flight instructor is comfortable with your airmanship skills, with your capabilities as a pilot, he or she can then sign you off for a solo. So they will put in what's called an endorsement in your logbook, which allows you to fly by yourself pursuant to certain limitations.
And then once you got your solo license, you can then schedule planes at multiple airports. You don't have to go to stay with that particular flight school. You have flexibility there once you got your solo?
That's a great question. The answer to that is actually no. So once you have your solo license, you're essentially flying under the license of your instructor. So it's kind of like when your kid has a driver's permit and they can't drive the car unless if you're in the car with them. That driver's permit is kind of acts as an authority of your own driver's license. It's the same thing here.
Interesting. So equipment to set up, what do you got to get and how much does that cost? I mean, is it $500, $1,000, more? I mean, I know equipment prices vary, but what are some of the basic things that you need? And on average, what would it cost for someone to, get the log books, the headphones, the things like that?
Mm-hmm. Great question. I think, when at first, less is more when you're starting out with flying. The first thing, if you're 100% going to be a pilot and do this, the first thing you need to do is sign up for a ground school subscription. I recommend King Schools. They're kind of one of the household names. And essentially what this is it's like online classes for college, except it's for your private pilot's license. That can set you back anywhere between $300 and $500, depending on the package you get. I haven't checked those prices in a while, but it should still be in about that ballpark. And then next, you need to, depending on the flight school you're at, you need to determine what equipment they provide to you. So some flight schools will provide headsets free of charge. Some will charge you maybe $10 or $15 a lesson for a headset. And if that's the case, it's probably advisable to buy your own. But generally speaking, what you need to be a pilot, you need a backpack of some sorts. I'm sure most people have one of those flying around from high school. You definitely need access to the internet so you can study ground school. You need a subscription from an online service provider. And when it comes to actual hardware, things like iPads are really great, but they're not necessary when you're first starting off. Like I said earlier, you want to make sure you have the fundamentals of flying down before you start introducing those tools into your kind of toolbox. And then lastly, it's just kind of the little things that some people don't think about, get a flashlight, because what happens if you need to pre-flight in the morning and the sun's not up and you can't see anything? Make sure you get a pair of unpolarized sunglasses. Here in Florida, a lot of people probably get their Ray-Ban P's and those are polarized. You can't fly with those because you can't actually read your instruments. So it's just little things like that. Do some due diligence, do some research. But the actual things you need, really, it's kind of in your heart. You just got to have the desire to be a pilot. And like I said, you'll kind of learn along the way that the things you need. But as a baseline, you need the ground school and then maybe a headset and some sunglasses. And great. That's pretty much it.
Great, Jack. Well, I appreciate you taking the time. We've been talking with Jack Stanislow, who's working on his private pilot's license. Wanted to share some great information with you guys. This is your host of That Is Good to Know, Jeff Stanislow. Jack, maybe you can come join us again. We can talk about, the process from going maybe from a private pilot's license to becoming a commercial airline pilot in a future episode, if you wouldn't mind joining us again.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd be happy to discuss that process.
Thanks, Jack. This again, Jeff Stanislow, your host of That Is Good to Know. We appreciate you spending your time with us here at Tampa. Again, to kind of recap, you got to, got to find a flight school, got to get some equipment. You got to get about 40 hours of work. You got to get cleared with some medicals. You got to do some check ride stuff. And you have to pass an exam. And all that could cost about, anywhere from $10,000 to $15,000. Again, Tampa, this is Jeff Stanislow signing off for That Is Good to Know.